Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke!
Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
And welcome to this Friday afternoon edition of Dueling Tangents. I'm your host, Luke Mathers. Got Evan on the board with me. No Brian today, but that's okay. He's hard at work. I know he's got numerous different things, and he wishes he could be here. Tells me to tell everybody to say hi. The listening audience, you're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM out of Madison, as well as the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM out of Waukesha, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios here on Madison's Near West Side, taking your phone calls and tangents and texts 844-967-2789. Appreciate you, Evan, for joining me on the board for today's big show. Been doing a lot of different work myself, just like Brian. And did I miss any major headlines, Evan?
Not to my knowledge, but I feel like you're about to drop something.
Oh. Yeah, well, this was a little stark one this morning.
Okay.
State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski dropping out of the U.S. Senate race.
I wasn't going to jinx it. I wasn't going to say anything, but yesterday I almost said it. I said, you know what would be just so déclassé? This continuation, this love fest. You know, among the primary,
you,
just being
you
so
you claim
clean.
That you like the love fest.
I do.
You like the coalition around one.
Well, especially because it's sort of, I'm not going to say it's a foregone conclusion, but I mean, Mr. Barnes kind of killing it out there.
Well, not only did she suspend her campaign this morning, effectively, according to the reports from the Cap Times, which is the first outlet that reported this news today, Sarah Godlewski, state treasurer here in the state of Wisconsin, contacted Mandela Barnes last night, let him know that she was going to be suspending her campaign and throwing her support behind him as well. Very similar to vice president on leave from the Milwaukee Bucks, Alex Lazary, did on Wednesday, and Outagamie County executive Tom Nelson did on Monday. So across 5 days this week, we got three candidates, all considered top-tier candidates, dropping out of the race and endorsing the front runner. He was leading in all of the polling leading up to this point. The front runner, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. I just find it interesting. Godlewski yesterday, I forget if it was yesterday or Wednesday, but after the Lazary announcement, she essentially doubled down. She said, I am in this race until the August 9th primary. I am in this race. And then this morning, suspending her campaign. And I find it... I understand that you appreciate the no one going negative and kind of just not anointing, but the selecting, essentially.
Well, anointing, I mean, because I've had some people texting into the show here with a take that I hadn't personally thought about, but I do appreciate as far as it sort of feels manipulative, right? The people aren't getting to choose.
That's my... biggest gripe about it,
which I can completely understand.
How do you spend millions of dollars? Because not to the same tune as Lazary, but Sarah Godlewski, a wealthy individual, mm-hmm. her and her husband, wealthy family, she spent a lot of her own money on this race as well. Close to, I believe, it was north of $17 million between Lazary and Godlewski each. Now, a bulk of that was Lazary, but there was a lot of money spent by these campaigns. And rather than see it through to election day, the three of the four leading candidates packed up shop and said, this is who we're choosing. And I find it, I don't necessarily, I guess, agree with it. I was gladdened to see her statement earlier in the week when State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski said that she would be in it through the primary. I was like, okay, it's going to look... We're going to leave this up to the voters. And there are still all three of those candidates that dropped out this week. Godlewski, Lazary, Nelson. All of their names will still appear on the ballot. They are more likely than not because there's a lot of uninformed voters out there, but there's likely to be at least some votes cast for those candidates still through to up to Election Day, whether it's individuals that don't want to go and spoil their absentee ballot, or an absentee ballot arrives at a clerk's office after the Thursday at 5 p.m. deadline to spoil your absentee ballot, or individuals walking into a voting booth and not necessarily, maybe they're going and voting for the lieutenant governor primary or the state treasurer or the secretary of state primary, and they just mark a name in the U.S. Senate primary as well now, and it's a name that has since dropped out. But there's also other candidates still in the race on the ballot. You got Stephen Olcara, who appeared on the debate stage. He's still on the ballot, and he has not suspended his campaign and endorsed Mandela Barnes like the three others that joined him on the debate stage less than 2 weeks ago. You got Peter Pekarsky. Dr. Williams is still on the ballot as well. So there are candidates out there that are still on the ballot. But it seems like the overwhelming momentum is towards Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes at this point. His three main competitors dropped out. And I guess I just don't understand it. I don't know if manipulative would be the word that I would use, Evan. But it definitely doesn't feel like this primary was ultimately left for the citizens of Wisconsin to decide. The primary results came down to the candidates themselves saying, well, I guess we're just, because it's one of those self-fulfilling prophecies where polling is flawed. We know that very well. If polling were true, Donald Trump wouldn't have won the state of Wisconsin in 2016. No polls up to that point, or very few polls up to that point, showed it, if any. And so polling is one thing, but actual voting, like allowing citizens to go to the ballot box and cast their vote for who they believe would be the best representative for the Democratic Party in the U.S. Senate, is what a primary is supposed to be. And now this cycle that we had an excellent field of qualified candidates feels, again, not manipulative, but deflating, I guess. I talked to one individual here at the station today saying, well, is there really a whole point to go out to these primaries now? Is there a driving cause for a lot of the elections on the ballot now? Because you take away the U.S. Senate primary, that was a lot of the motivation for a lot of voters out there to go to the polls on August 9th. And it just, deflating, I guess, is the best term that I can come up with. And I don't know if that's necessarily, I'm not saying that it was coordinated. I'm not saying that this was something nefarious, but State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski dropping out of the race today, endorsing Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, is the top headline. Took away a headline that I believe was even higher than that, which we're going to get to in this next segment. But I also want to hear your reactions. 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts on the field clearing for Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, all but the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party now in this fall's U.S. Senate race? Seems like it's going to be a Barnes-Johnson race. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes versus incumbent Senator Ron Johnson. What are your thoughts on that? 844-967-2789. I'm also going to be joined later in the hour by our friend Hawk Sullivan, owner of Hawk's Bar on State Street, as well as the other fine neighborhood bars, the Jade Monkey over on Cottage Grove Road and the Atomic Koi down in Fitchburg. And Hawk's going to share some viewpoints of, we're going to do a little segment called Ask the Bartender. So we'll be taking your calls, chatting it up. 844-967-2789. You can be like my friend up in Eau Claire. We got Jeannie on the line. Jeannie, what are your thoughts about State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski suspending her campaign today?
I think it was a selfless act of heroism because we all want Johnson gone. And they all made their decision. They've watched him on the campaign trail. They know what this guy's about, Mandela Barnes, and they decided that he could beat him and beat Johnson, and that he had the all of the great characteristics and strengths and caringness for the people, which just eludes from him. He is really a fantastic person. He's already been the lieutenant governor. He's already been all over the state. People love him. And, you know, and they know, sir, believe you me, I was having a heck of a time, because when I watched Mandela and I watched her too, and she's outstanding, don't get me wrong. But he melted the crowd, and I have to tell you something. My a friend of mine who's 88 years old, a female, who's a Democrat, and she was studying, and she just loved the guy with the little baby, and she thought she was so cute in the commercials and different things like that, that, you know, the buck guy. And you know, she just loved him. And when I heard he dropped out, I called, and she said, well, I just love him, and she loves Sarah. But she was for Mandela Barnes, 88 years old, don't know any of the politicians, but the way he handled himself on that stage just impressed her. And I was impressed with her. I thought, wow, I didn't know you paid so much attention. You know, the personalities, I've heard that from a lot of people. There's something about that guy that's magnetic, and that he connects with people, and he really cares about our state and our country, and so do those other candidates. They were really shining too, but they cared enough to step back and put their support behind a guy that's got a takeout, just liar, cheat, fraudulent, crappy person that we don't want in there anymore. So
and Jeannie, I don't dispute anything you say about that, but I just believe that if it was truly in the cards, if it was truly going to be that Mandela was running away with this race as it was, it should be left up to the voters of Wisconsin to decide, not necessarily the three candidates that were facing Mandela in this primary to choose for us. That's all. And I appreciate your phone call. Sorry, Jeannie, we're coming up here on the end of the break. But I don't dispute any words. I believe that if he is the nominee, that Mandela Barnes is going to make it a very interesting race against Ron Johnson this fall. And I just would have preferred, I guess, to see.
This is Pat Slattery of Slattery's Automotive Service in Verona. Established in 1973, I've been servicing and repairing cars in the Madison community for nearly 50 years. You can trust me to tell you what your car really needs and fix it right the first time. Give me a call at 608-848.
Good afternoon, but joined by Evan on the board. And you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Got cut off there towards the end of the last segment, but essentially what I was trying to get at, and I believe all the words that Jeannie from Eau Claire said are accurate. I think that Mandela is an electric candidate. I think that there was signs that he was leading in the polls, that he was the likely nominee. It feels weird to me. And it's just giving me similar flashbacks to 2020, and I know it's not the same scenario. But there was a very large crowded field for the Democratic presidential race. And right around Super Tuesday, before a lot of states still got to vote, a lot of the candidates that were making arguments for why they should be the Democratic nominee ended up dropping out at the same time and endorsing then Joe Biden, former vice president. And before voters had the ability to choose, the decisions were made by the candidates. And it feels weird to me. I'd love to hear your point of view. 844-967-2789. Going to Nick in Madison next. Nick, what are your thoughts on the topic?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Me, conservative, don't really have a dog in this particular fight, but I kind of agree with you about this based on two things. First, if I was an early voter, I might feel a little keyed because my vote was essentially wasted. I know there's a mechanism that you can get another ballot, but I have a feeling like a lot of them aren't even going to bother unless they're very committed. And also, I don't like the idea of a coronation. That was kind of a fear I had when back when Hillary Clinton was running against Bernie Sanders. The idea was that, oh, she's got it in the bag. This is just kind of for show, but then he put up a fight. really liked. And this just seems like a coronation rather than an election. That's my take.
Yeah, I appreciate that take. And I will push back a little bit. The 2016 was slightly different. Bernie was not a Democrat. He was running the Democratic primary as an independent. And so I can understand almost a little bit more pushback there because there weren't many Democrats running against the Clinton camp at that point. I believe Webb and I can't think of the last name of the former governor of Maryland. It's escaping me. O'Malley. O'Malley and Webb were the two Democrats running against Clinton in 16. And Bernie Sanders was an independent. He was an outsider. He wasn't a party affiliate. And that's, you could argue, part of the problem with primaries, that they're run by the parties and therefore not necessarily the most reflective elections either in that regard. So appreciate that take, Nick. You could be like Nick. Give me a call, 844-967-2789. Up next, we got Profane Ronnie calling in. Profane Ronnie, what are your thoughts on this subject?
Hey there. So on Facebook, we were talking yesterday about Lazary bowing out, and my friend says, well, that's okay. I voted for Sarah. And I said, yeah, me too. Yeah, I really like her. And then you start the show bursting my bubble.
I'm so sorry.
You would use the word manipulated, and that's not the first step. That's not really how I feel. The word I would use is undemocratic, because democracy, loosely translated, is the people's action.
Right.
You know, and it's we the people, like L.A. Times says. We are supposed to choose. Now, I don't care that they backed out and backed Mandela, because I, in the long run, I thought he was going to get it anyway. But I thought we could at least see from our votes how it would have shaken out.
Right. What if all the polling was wrong? What if the polls that we saw were wrong and the actual voters in Wisconsin wanted a different candidate? I agree with you. Evan was the one that brought up manipulative.
And it wasn't even my words.
Yeah, it wasn't even Evan's words.
Yeah, that was a listener.
And again, I don't want to say that it feels manipulative, but it's similar to that. It feels deflating and undemocratic. I do agree with that, Profane Ronnie. So I appreciate your call. You have a great weekend, Profane Ronnie. It's definitely an interesting take. Let's get one more in here before the end of this segment. We got Peggy in Brooklyn calling in. Peggy, what are your thoughts on the day?
I totally agree with you. I had a lot of people when Hillary was picked that wanted Bernie and said at least, because they felt like all of a sudden we had Hillary for the Democrats, and I'm like, hold it, don't we get to kind of pick here? And I had a lot of people that said if they would have gotten their pick and they would have gotten Bernie, Bernie would have won. Because I had a lot of people that did not vote for Hillary because of her past history.
Well, and again, I don't know if the 16 reference is the best reference, just because that primary did go really far. A lot of voters did get to choose. I know not every state voted by the time that Clinton had the nomination in 16, but no Wisconsin voter got to vote in this one. There was no voting taking place. We got one televised debate, and we never actually saw voters go to the ballot box. It didn't happen because in a statewide primary, you don't get the cycle like a presidential cycle where states slowly but surely hold their elections, and then we see where the momentum is going for all these campaigns. These campaigns this week called it up less than all of them. Monday was 15 days out from the primary election. Yeah. Tom Nelson suspending his campaign on Monday, which is really the domino that led to all of this. It seems like after one of the four front runners decided that they weren't going to continue the campaign through Election Day, that was what everybody else thought was enough momentum for Mandela Barnes to be able to run away with it. And
I know, but I don't believe that he, the front runner who said he dropped out because of the money, I don't believe that for 1 minute. I think there was something else going on there.
Interesting. All right, Peggy, we appreciate your call.
And which makes me start to wonder, okay, are they manipulating who we get to vote for, even on the Democratic side? See, I don't like that. I mean, I think it should wait for the people. And one more thing that I'm going to bring up because it kind of bugs me. You know where they said where people go to nursing homes and vote for people? So my sister works in a nursing home, and she saw this firsthand this week. They had four women that came in to help some of the elderly people do a home ballot, and she said, Peg, they were in the Alzheimer's section of the nursing home, and she said, you know, those people don't even know what's going on. And she brought it to the supervisor's attention, and they said, well, they're just helping them. And she said, no, that's not right. And
well, Peggy, we're going to the end of the break here. Something more we'll keep an eye on, but I don't believe there's any manipulation there. Again, manipulation is not what I want to use. This is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. Got Evan on the board, and I am joined in studio by Hawk Sullivan, proprietor of three neighborhood bars here in Madison. Hawk, how you doing?
I'm like short. What? Like, oh my God, this studio. What is it? Okay, wait. I was trying to go up. I'm good. You know, I'm so much better looking than Brian. Come on.
Oh, I mean, let's not discount Brian's look. That man.
I mean, hey, your gaze right now at me is.
He's paid by Hollywood to go and,
oh, that's true.
And look at cameras, though. So Brian's got the look.
Brian will tell you all the stories.
Yeah. I forget what night it was. It was like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. I think it was on Sunday. And Brian and I are, you know, we talk a lot about not only this show, but the work that we do here at the stations. And he goes, and so it's not atypical for us to talk and text back and forth at weird hours throughout the week
about weird stuff.
Yeah, it's not always work related stuff. We're buddies too off the air, and which is the whole reason why Crudy kind of threw us on the airs. We
and you're still friends.
We enjoy talking to each other.
That's
good. And he's texting me and he goes, "This might be the peak of my career right now. If you turn on Ion, he's like, it's my episode of Chicago Fire.
And he's on it for like a second.
He's on it." But then also, a recent ad that he did for, I believe, AARP also aired in the hour. And Brian was like, this is great for me.
Wait, is he? Well, how old is Brian? How was it AARP? Like,
he's not old.
That's how much they manipulate. Everybody out there, they manipulate us.
They want you to join early.
Yeah.
They don't want just the 55 that and up. They want you at 45 now, or 40, or
how about they start giving us Medicare at 45? You know, then I would join AARP.
That'd be
a good thing,
that
right?
That would be a perfect thing.
Biden could do it right now. Tomorrow, he could just sign a thing saying Medicare. He could just change age.
He could.
If he wanted to.
He could.
If people out there wanted to.
See, we go down a little bit of a tangent here, even when we got a guest like Hawk Sullivan.
That's okay. I like the tangents. My wife says that all the time. She's like, what are you talking about? I don't know. It popped into my head.
We don't frown at that here. So appreciate you coming to the studio, Hawk.
Thanks for having me. It's very nice. You get to see the traffic go by.
Yeah.
Windows.
I love the windows here at the new studio. I thought this was going to be your first time, but you told me you'd already been here.
I have been here to drop something off.
Yeah,
but
that
was
it.
Evan locked me out, by the way. He came running out. I was going to leave the poster from the last live show, and then he came running out. Hey, what's up, dude? Anyway, but no, I have not been inside. It's very nice. Got your little signed door here. Very cool.
We're going to have you sign that before you leave. But no, we were here on University Avenue in the Solidarity Realty Studios. We've been thrilled to move in. But
your show is great, by the way. I'm not trying to plug you guys, but for those who don't listen, I really love your guys' passion. When you guys listen to your show, I can tell in your voice, Luke, that these things bother you personally. Yeah. And that when people talk about like, oh, it's not, you know, I don't like to get political. Anybody who says it's probably an older white guy, like an older white straight guy is a guy saying, oh, I don't like to get political. Yeah, because it doesn't affect you. So that's why you don't like to get political. But you can tell that these things affect you and you're a white straight guy. And like that's important because we're the ones who nothing happens to, right? Frankly, you know, and so like if you're passionate about something, it means you're an empathetic person who cares about, you know, other people in the world.
Yeah, my parents raised me to, you know, be,
you could tell,
be that empathy.
Good job,
empathy.
Luke's parents.
Thanks, Margaret.
Gold star.
Yeah, we're gonna give them a shout out tonight. I mean, Brian and I, it's an interesting concept because we didn't know how it was gonna work when we got started, and he's not here to share his two cents on it. But it was kind of like, what? We got an hour to fill. What are we gonna do? What do we want to talk about?
He probably compared to some Hollywood movie that like He probably used an analogy of, like,
the,
from that.
The B-rate movie. The, yeah, like, yeah. All the Brian, that, Brian's a really, really big fan of, like, the little tiny independent project films. And I'll be like, oh, I've never seen that before, thinking, like, it's a big film that I'm supposed to know.
No.
And it's, like, a very tiny production, and you can only stream it on YouTube. Yeah, right. And that's the only
and
place
I'm in
you
it
can
for
find
5 seconds.
No, so no, was, not even ones that he's in, though. It'll just be like, Brian has the most obscure references, which helped us kind of be able to be like, well, I like to talk about a lot of different things. I don't want to talk about one specific thing. And then we go down tangents.
I think people like it. They don't want to hear just politics. I mean, although I was listening to you, I do listen to you quite often. And I was listening to the conversation about Sarah dropping out. And I have a little different take, but
yeah.
To be full disclosure, about my take on it is that I had backed Mandela from day one.
I was
going to
say, from when he announced.
Yeah, from day one, I thought he was the best all-around candidate, you know, who hits a lot of the marks. And people got to get over this 100% purity test because it's just getting in your way. Do me and Mandela agree on everything? Absolutely not. There's no way, you know. So he's been my guy the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, I've donated to him and, like, you know, I've set up events for him and stuff, or helped set up events. But that being said, I get people's frustration a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit I do. But you have to understand there's a bigger thing going on here. And as soon as people did start, even when Tom dropped out, you know, like, things started turning. And frankly, I do think the voters have spoken. He's consistently hit that poll number, okay? And I understand the polls are a little off.
Chucky,
I understand.
Chucky Franklin over at Marquette, you know, but he overpolls Republicans.
I know, but I'm saying, but that's good then, because that means he's getting Republican support, right? Like Feingold used to get, right?
Yeah.
And Tom gets in his valley, right? Tom talks about in the valley, he gets good Republican, he gets a third Republican vote, right?
Yeah.
So my point is this. I think that his consistency, and he hasn't made any mess ups, right? He hasn't screwed up. Nothing weird has come out about him. Skeletons haven't fallen out of the closet.
He accidentally said Scott Walker instead of Ron Johnson once this week, and the RPW.
You know,
no, that's my
Freudian
reaction.
Slip.
But the RPW was like literally, they were like, oh, we got something.
Mentally, yeah.
We got something.
Yeah, we got something.
He finally slipped up, and it was.
He wore a tan suit one time.
Yeah.
Like Obama, yeah.
I was just saying, that's the thing, is you get the littlest tiny things get blown out of proportion sometimes.
And it hasn't happened with him.
Yeah.
He's run a very clean, consistent campaign. I mean, like I said, full disclosure, he's my guy, but I think he's run a good campaign. And I think that it shows, and I think the polling shows that, like, he's consistently there. And I think that when you see, listen, it's not like these other politicians, they get something for getting out, by the way. It's not like they just, like, dip out. Like, they have conversations about what they can do for him and what they, you know, what kind of help, what kind of position I can get you if I, you know, but things happen behind closed doors.
I don't think Lazary's going to work for Mandela in D.C.
No, but Lazary's a business person.
True.
Who, you know, you scratch it back the right way. I'm not saying Mandela's like that. I'm just saying, like, senators are like that, right? You scratch it back the right way, and maybe he'll vote yeah on the next project that Lazary needs. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not like all these people get something. Tom,
right. There's always something after the election that was coming up on the 9th.
Correct.
And I understand that aspect. And again, manipulative isn't the word I want to use. We had a texter text in, and I don't think that that's the proper. And I'm trying to find out.
I don't have a big enough vocabulary to find a word that describes the feeling
we're talking
of some
about
of the
out
people
here
out there.
Yeah,
you know, I get it. But listen, I think a better analogy is the Biden situation, not the Hillary thing.
Yeah.
The Hillary Bernie thing was, I definitely think, was a Democratic Party kind of screwy,
it was the Democratic Party
sketchy,
finding out who it was, though,
okay.
Because there were voters that wanted something else other than Clinton.
No.
And so, yeah, I agree.
I agree. And I'm a Bernie
analogy.
Guy, you know, back then. But, okay, so, but I think the Biden one was a better analogy of people seeing kind of the writing on the wall and being like, you know what, the bigger picture here is to get rid of that person. Now, I would say this, from a political strategist point of view, what happens is Mandela gets a bunch of votes, right? A ton of votes now, instead of just a little split, you know? And the backing happens, and Ron Johnson starts getting scared.
Well, he's already raised it. In between the 24 hours after Lazary dropping out and endorsing him, the Mandela Barnes campaign reported $200,000 to $250,000 in donations.
This is the other part of it, okay?
Yeah.
The other part of it is the money part. In the last 2 weeks before the primary, there's a lot of money being pumped in, and people will stop giving that money to the other candidates and funnel it towards Mandela. Sadly, me too. I shouldn't have given him any money. What the heck? He's already the nominee. I should have waited. Anyway.
That's what I'm saying. What is it all for then? No, if it all of a sudden just
I mean, listen,
came
if
out?
You ask me, there shouldn't be all his money in anyhow, but that's the way it is. You got to play the game. I don't like the game. The game is, frankly, somewhat rigged to rich people and a lot rigged to the rich people. So, you know, vote people in who will ask your person, say, what's the number one thing? They should say the number one issue is campaign finance reform, gerrymandering.
Those
should
issues,
be the two
those
things.
Sexy issues of
without
campaign
those two
finance
things,
reform and gerrymandering.
Yeah, without those two things getting fixed, we will continue to have a corrupt.
Yeah, we're gonna see the maps that got implemented in Wisconsin after this last cycle are gonna be around for a decade now. We're gonna see the same maps that we have unless some things drastically change. We
talk to your uncle. I'm sorry, but if you have an uncle or a friend who's a Republican, I'm sorry, they need to pay a price for not saying anything. You can't just keep on coddling your Republican uncles and your Republican friends. I'm sorry. It's just enough is enough. Like your Republican uncle and friends, the ones you call quote unquote friends, literally are okay with a raped girl at 10 years old having to have a kid. They're okay with it.
There was a U.S. House of Representative member, Republican, that voted against codifying same-sex marriage into federal law. And then went to his son's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And his son was gay.
Yeah.
Went to his son's wedding days later after that
disgusting.
Vote.
Disgusting.
I don't know how you do that.
You cut him off. I'm sorry, but you cut off your Republican friends and your Republican relatives. If they don't pay a price for being okay with this stuff, then they're going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but like they just need to go back in their basement and get on the internet and talk to their, you know, friends. But I mean,
I try to have the conversation. I don't know if cutting off is necessarily. I believe a penalty needs to be paid.
So you need to have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And if they say, "Oh God, I'm against that. That's horrible." Say, "Oh yeah, what are you doing about it?"
There you go.
Are you calling your representative and saying, "Listen, I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative, but that is just over the line." Okay. Have you done that? They're gonna say no. They're gonna say no. And you say, "Well, then you're okay with it then."
Yeah.
Because you're literally
not doing anything about it to hold their elected officials accountable for it.
Correct.
Then, yes, they are condoning the actions.
Correct. And progressives the same way. If you're a progressive and you're sitting there whining about this or whining about that and you haven't called your or wrote a letter or email, you are in the same boat. I'm sorry, but you can sit here and you can cry about all the climate change stuff and all this stuff. But if you're just sitting there talking to your friends about it, that's doing absolutely nothing. It is doing nothing. Have you donated $10? Have you donated $10?
Some of those campaigns aren't even asked for $10 now.
$10.
They didn't ask for $2, $3, $4. Yeah.
Have you donated $10? Can I tell you something? This, I always say, oh, have you donated money? They're like, no. I'm like, well, then why would they do anything for you? No offense, but like, your vote, frankly, isn't what gets them elected.
They will keep contacting you nonstop. Even after a $5, $10 donation, they know that you've given and they want to hear from you then. They're like, you will get contacted relentlessly by campaigns.
$10.
$10, but that gives you the ability to interact with those campaigns, and like you said, the enthusiasm, the campaign interest for the Barnes campaign was there, at least from the best that we can tell through polls this entire year. He was the front runner this entire time, and so
Let me give you one more plug for Mandela, because I will say this: I've actually hung out with him socially, not like a lot. It's not like we're friends or anything, but I've been around him, and he is one of the most. I mean, I'm not just saying this like because he's my guy. He is I've never met someone kind of like down to earth, regular. Like, if you want someone who's like just been a regular person,
if
lived
you want
a regular,
somebody that's actually trying to address inflation,
life. Yes,
in like
he's
say,
not a multimillionaire. You
say
know,
the
like,
number one issue for Wisconsin voters this fall is potentially going to be inflation. Mandela Barnes
understands that.
Trying to navigate inflation a whole lot better than Ron Johnson is.
Wait, one of the negative things about him is that he didn't pay his. What is it, property tax or something like that? Something. Yeah, because he's broke. Like, he ain't got no money. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude,
he's a regular
average dude.
I forgot to pay parking tickets before. It happens to the best of us.
So I'm saying these are the kinds of people. Like, you know, when Crudy asked me about, like, what I think about Lazio, I'm like, I just don't like, I'm very skeptical of rich people who want to be elected officials. I'm very skeptical of them.
Yeah.
Whoever they are, left or right.
Or at least starting all the way at the top like that.
Yeah, right. Going right for it.
Because nobody that's really well off wants to go run for state assembly. It's very.
Why are they doing it? Haven't you ever? Hasn't
they always want
asked?
The top slot? They want governor. They want U.S. Senate. Well, why?
Why?
Why are you running for those?
Haven't you asked that question? And why will they do the most sketchy things to keep that job? You know what I'm saying? Why would they do that? Why would they do bend over backwards?
Well, Michaels is going to put his company in a blind trust, apparently. Oh, and still have
go back to wherever, New
road
Jersey?
Road contracts.
Where, his $17 million mansion? 17 or?
15, I believe.
15 million.
Devil Radio has been kicking ass, earning every listener and providing our sponsors return on investment 3 years now on the Madison Airwaves. And there has never been a better time than right now to advertise with us and join the Devil Radio community. Our audience is loyal and growing every day. Active listeners that don't flip. Wonder if your ad dollars are working? Devil Radio listeners will tell you it works. Ad production is included. Devil Radio will make it easy for you to start seeing return on your investment. Call today.
Hi, I'm a pleasant voice reminding you to enable Devil Radio before playing Devil Radio.
Bro, would the people know? But you're not like you're not a Madisonian.
I'm a Sun Prairian.
Oh my lord, blasphemy!
Hey man, I hit up the Jade Monkey on my way home,
and there we go. Sun Prairie people do come to the Jade Monkey. Yeah,
I like Sun Prairie.
Where would you go in Sun Prairie? There's a couple places now.
There's a couple cool places now. No, it's booming.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's crazy.
One of the really good breweries though sold, so it's gone now. So I was a little upset about
that. Breweries are a little dime a dozen a little bit. There's so much good beer out there. Meaning it was I'm saying there's a lot of good beer.
Yeah, yeah, but it was like euchre themed, so I'm a big euchre.
Oh my god.
I love euchre. So they had me and it was Ripe Bauer.
You give me like high school flashbacks, man. Playing euchre, drinking Old Milwaukee.
That sounds like a great evening to me. I don't know why you got to pigeonhole that to high school. Come on.
All the rich kids like drank Special Export Light.
I don't even know if I've ever had that. I don't know if I've ever had it.
It's okay if you don't.
It's okay. My older brother introduced me to Mickey's.
Yeah. Oh, that beer is so sweet. And like, the grenades, the Mickey's grenade. Oh, my God.
You got the
God.
Little puzzle on the top and everything,
lordy.
Too. Yeah, I'd like to play a couple of hands.
Kitschy things to have you drink beer. Like kids' games to have you drink beer. Only like in Wisconsin, right? Like,
it's a big party favor. That's all it is.
It's been great. We just had a giant party last weekend.
Yeah, how did the 20?
It was awesome. We had
years.
A magician. We had a twister, a balloon twister, a face painter. We had Bucky stop by, and it was packed all day. And it was really cool because some of the employees from 20 years ago actually showed up. One, my boy, Agum. Ogum showed up from D.C. He flew in and
flew
like
in for the 20th
he was one of the original guys. Yeah. And I have a woman, Carrie, who's worked for me for 20 years. She has a full time job for the last 10 years, but she works on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And she's about to quit. And I said she had to hang on just a little longer to make it a full 20 years. And
there
so, yeah, you know, I mean, State Street, you know, it evolves. I mean, people talk about State Street and like after, you know, the BLM protests and stuff in the summer. And frankly, that didn't bother me at all. Honestly, I actually think that the BLM protests are kind of what makes State Street kind of what it is. Like, it's the heart of downtown between a university and the Capitol. And over the history of Madison, lots of really cool stuff has happened.
Yeah.
That when the march happened and Act 10 happened, you know, Hawks got really busy because I'm, you know, pro-union and like, I reached out and said, yeah, come on by. And I met a lot of new friends. Actually, everybody knows Jenny Dye. I became friends with Jenny Dye during that time. And we're still close friends. And you just don't see it in every city like that.
Right.
That kind of vibrant, you know, passion, frankly, you know. And I mean, you might not agree with all the protests that go down State Street, but you're in a country that allows it to happen. Or frankly, if Republicans had their say, you wouldn't be able to do that. I mean, it evolves, you know, and like places come and go.
Yeah.
I'm very humbled to be there 20 years. I really believe it's because of my managers and my employees. I've been very lucky to have great managers over the years and my other bars too. And they allow me to spend time with my kids. You know, I had a family 10 years ago. I had a daughter and so I pay my employees more so that I don't have to be there all the time, you know? So I think that's the key. Take care of your employees, treat them with respect, give them responsibility. Don't treat them like servants. That's a tip for everybody who goes into a bar too, by the way. Okay.
Yeah.
They are serving you, but they are not your servants.
Absolutely.
And do not treat them that way. if you want to get good service. They all know. They may be professional and not say anything to you, but when you treat them like a servant, you will get... It's
one of the best indicators for me, for somebody, when I'm still getting to know somebody and you go out to a restaurant, a bar, anywhere in the service industry.
Oh, yeah, how they treat,
and,
yes.
And it's an excellent indicator for me, having worked in the service industry myself. Not 20 years, but I dabbled in it throughout.
If you did it for a couple months, frankly, if you worked for 3 months in a service industry, you would gain a whole new respect for, I think everybody should do it for 3 months.
Yeah, then. I don't know how we'd necessarily mandate that. That's a pretty good idea.
If you were French, you would do it. If you were in France, you're like, you work in the restaurants
go
for 3 months.
Go bust some tables. There you go. 3 months.
That was a horrible French accent.
I wasn't trying.
You make it the pastries now.
Brian's the actor, not me. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but I'm joined by Hawk Sullivan in studio here on the Madison's Near West Side. And Hawk, we're going to be down at one of your fine neighborhood establishments
next Tuesday. Yep.
And so we're going to be, the Devil's Advocate's going to be doing a live show from 4 to 6 p.m. at Hawks on State Street. We're going to go check out the 20 years that Hawks has been in.
It got a facelift. It's a beautiful new mural on the front, like a mural. It's wings and like a beautiful, I mean, honestly, this woman, Audi Fax, she's an artist. She has done stuff around town, and the front of Hawks looks awesome.
Nice.
So, hats off to her.
I saw the photo when you posted it, but I have not got to see it in
person
yet.
No, it's very cool. So. It's really detailed. She does some really, really cool stuff, and it was really cool. Like, I want to do more of that kind of stuff, but
nice.
Anyway.
So a facelift for the new Hawks Bar. The Devil's Advocates are going to be live. We're going to be doing a station party for Devil Radio 92.7 afterwards. So 6 p.m., we'll pack up the gear, and we'll start having the
come on down. Flow. It's always fun to watch and live and kind of – I know that, like and you and Brian should do this sometime maybe too, but – it is kind of cool to kind of see and meet, you know, some of your listeners, and like they enjoy it and interacting with them. And every once in a while, you get a little crazy person show up and do some crazy stuff, you know, like whatever. But that's all part of the gig, you know, yeah, especially if you're on State Street.
I was saying, it's State Street. You could never not expect it.
Wait. This story is I'm doing like a news. Like they were doing this news about the shoot a news thing.
Yeah.
And this guy walks out of Hawks. This guy walks out and goes, "Hey, do you have any chairs that aren't metal or wood?" And I was like, no.
So plastic chairs? You'd like a plastic chair? Is that what you're requesting, sir?
And he like walked away, and I was like, State Street.
It is what it is. State Street is beautiful in that regard, too, though, because there are so many interesting people.
It's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of fun events downtown. Yeah. There's a downtown market, that's a night market, which is awesome, once a month.
Stop and have dinner or at least a drink every time at Hawks.
That's right. You know market. What? Frankly, I'm not like that. I'm not. I'm just not that guy. No. I'm not.
I'm a creature of habit, though. I'm a creature of habit.
I should probably self-promote more, but I just want people to come downtown.
No, I'm saying that's
enjoy.
What I do.
Oh, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Oh, look at Brown Noser. Jeez. God, Luke. No, but there's a lot of cool places, and I think that, you know, I think when people, they forget they haven't been downtown in 10 years, and things are different, you know, and like, it's okay. Change is fine. Change is good. Change is what happens in life.
It is.
When people talk about liberal and conservative, literally conservatives don't change.
They don't want to change.
Liberal is
changing.
They want
as little change as possible, except tax cuts. Give big tax cuts and change as little as possible.
They love that. They love the change of
tax
cuts.
They love to change the tax code to benefit them and their donors. A little bit more.
It's not benefiting me. Or Mandela. He's just a poor guy like everybody.
And one thing that hasn't changed on State Street for the last 20 years, Hawks Bar and Grill. So the Devil's Advocate is going to be broadcasting live from Hawks on State Street Tuesday, August 2nd. It's already August. Jeez.
It's already the end of the show?
It's already the end of the show, too.
We didn't even take any calls.
Oh my God,
we're sorry, everybody.
So sorry to the callers sitting on hold. We're having a good conversation with the bartender. And it tends to go that way sometimes. You just have a great conversation.
This happens
at the bar.
And then three drinks later, you're, oh my God.
Crap, I got to get home.
Yeah.
I got to get home, do some yard work, dishes, all those things.
After I've had three drinks. Oh no.
This has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Really appreciate you stopping by, Hawk. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Evan, thanks for boarding this week. We will be back on Monday at 2 p.m. Talk to you then.
Thanks, everybody.
Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.